Good morning. My name is Dawn, and I'm going to bring our Bible reading this morning, which is taken from 1 Peter, chapter 4, and verses 7 to 11. That's 1 Peter, chapter 4. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to each other without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Morning. Before I say anything else, I have an additional notice. On the 5th of December is Whitley Bay Fiesta, and the town and the organisers need help, particularly with setting up a packing away as well. And if you can help, particularly if you are able-bodied to help put up gazebos and things, please speak to Andrew or email him. If you are willing to get up and help put up gazebos at sort of 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning before church, that would be really helpful. And do you know what? If you volunteer to come and help put up gazebos, I'll treat you to breakfast as well. So there you are. I've said it out loud, so you can hold me to it now. Andrew's reconsidering whether he's going to get up early and set up gazebos too. So that's for the 5th. Please see Andrew. And as Catherine already said, there will be an act of remembrance a little later in our service. We will do our very best to fit that in as close to 11 o'clock as possible. But it depends how much of a tangent I go off on as I'm preaching as to exactly where that fits. And if I get really overexcited about the message I'm bringing to you this morning and go off on a complete tangent, feel free to start throwing things at me. If it gets to, 4 or 5 minutes past 11, that'd be fine. Or you could just tell me, whichever you like. Throw things, tell me, I don't mind. This morning, today, is the final Sunday in our series on loving your church. Next week, the Light Group are going to be leading our Worship for Ability Sunday. And after that, we are into Advent and Christmas. And before you know it, it will be 2022. And some of you are just quietly panicking because you realise that Christmas is just around the corner and you haven't bought any presents yet. I haven't either. Vicky does most of that for us anyway. For the last few months, our small groups have been working their way through 6 steps to loving your church, and I've been preaching on what it means to be church and how we can better love it. All of which means, I hope, that those who worship with us regularly now know exactly how to love each other, as they should, and we are all that bit better at it, right? Good. I'm really pleased. We are so full of love and care and support for each other that it's spilling over into the streets, into our other activities. And if you want a way for your love to spill over into the streets out of this place, remember on the 5th of December there's the Fiesta and Andrew's looking for volunteers. We are, I hope by now, encouraging one another, inspiring one another on in our walks with God, even more so than we were before. Let me give you a bit of a whistle-stop tour of where we have been. This is the dangerous bit where I try and preach 6 sermons in 5 minutes as I remind you of what I've already said. We have... I can never work out which way... Do you know what? Turning the clicker on helps. There we go. We have thought about the importance of meeting together. That church is the name we give to a group of Jesus followers gathered in his name. Be that here on a Sunday morning, in our homes, at small groups, on Zoom, over the phone, in a coffee shop, outside. When we gather in the name of Jesus, that is church. And being a follower of Jesus means that we are part of church. You can't have one without the other. It's not an optional extra. So we have been invited to follow Jesus, to be part of the family of God. And that means, fortunately or otherwise, we have all these brothers and sisters who have also been called to be part of the family of God. And we are called also to love them, to love all those that God has gathered to himself. And so we meet together as a church in order to engage in loving relationships with one another and to engage in our relationship with God. And we work hard at loving each other because Jesus has first loved us. He has set the example. Through his death and resurrection, he has made a way for us to have a renewed relationship with God and better relationships with each other. In his life, he set us that example for what loving relationships should look like. And because Jesus loved us enough to die for our sakes, we follow that example and seek to love God and each other as he has commanded us to. We thought together about what love is. Not a feeling, but a conscious act of consistent, committed, self-sacrificial behaviour. We talked about how we can and should encourage each other and spur one another on. How part of what every single one of us needs is for our church family to help us in our walk with Jesus. To help us to grow closer to him. To help us to get through the difficult bits of life. And live for the glory of God. We've considered together how church is a participation sport. It is not a spectacle to watch. We have all been given a part to play. And our church is poorer when any one of us either chooses not to play their part or isn't given an opportunity to do so. We have reminded ourselves that an important part of being the church of God is sharing his love in actions and in words with those who are outside of the church. And today our theme is, above all, love. A simple reminder, I hope, of that call to love your church, that we might all be better at obeying those greatest commands, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And to love your neighbour as yourself. So today, briefly and succinctly, I hope, we're going to think about this passage in 1 Peter 4. We're going to think about love and sin. We're going to think about doing everything for God and what this means for loving our church. And those first two things, love and sin, and then doing everything for God, those first two, they're really about the way we act and the way we react. Love, covering a multitude of sins, is all about how we react when other people who are part of this body, part of this family, do and say things which hurt us. And doing everything for God is one way in which we might act towards others, in endeavouring to treat them in a godly way, endeavouring not to hurt them. So we're going to start in the opposite order from what Peter does in the passage we heard earlier. We're going to start with the way we act. We are to be hospitable, he writes, to use what we have to serve others, to be faithful stewards of God's grace. We should speak as one who speaks the very words of God and serve with the strength that God provides. In reality, for all of us, both our speaking and our service should reflect the will and the heart of God. And both our speech and our service should be powered by the Holy Spirit. One commentator put it this way: everything we say should be the sort of thing that God would say. And everything we do should be the sort of thing that God would do. I wonder how that sounds to you. I wonder if you want to be the sort of person that only says the sort of things that God says and does the sort of things that God would do. And I think if we really think about it, for many of us, we balk at that a little bit. We don't really want that because we've got this image of God in our heads as a boring old man sat on a cloud wagging his finger at us, telling us what we can and cannot do. It's ingrained in the back of our psyche, this old man, long beard, grumpy and boring. And if that is the God that we seek to copy, then the church will end up being boring and judgmental and certainly not hospitable. And you know what? I've been to churches exactly like that. Too many churches are trying to follow the example of a God that sits on the cloud wagging his finger and looking grumpy, being judgmental. But when we strive to act as God would act, when we strive to speak as he would speak, we need to remember that he is the God who made us and loves us with unconditional love. That he is a God who is far from boring. That he is our God who painted the mountains, our God who created the blowfish, our God who invented the orgasm, our God who turned water into wine so that the party could carry on. Our God is not boring. Our God is awesome. And being like our God is awesome. I think it should make us more fun. To do as this passage says, to speak the way God would speak, to serve in his power, to be hospitable without grumbling, to serve each other, is to love each other deeply. It means, I think, if we act in this way, we are less likely to hurt each other, to sin against each other, to stir up dissension or bitterness. It means encouraging each other, building each other up, spurring each other on rather than tearing down, damaging or demeaning others. You could ask yourself, as you try to do this, as you try and speak only what God would speak and act in the way that he would act, you could try and ask yourself, what would Jesus do? I wonder if we always consider those words that so many of us walked around in the 90s with a little wristband with WWJD written on it. They've gone now. Maybe I still need the reminder. If we only considered, if we always considered, what would Jesus do? I wonder how it might change the way in which we speak to each other, the things we say, the way we say them, the way we treat one another in church. So doing things for God, acting like God, following the example of Jesus, being hospitable and serving. This is about how we act towards one another. It's an expression of our love. But Peter also writes that loving deeply covers a multitude of sins. And this is about the way we react when others do things which cause us pain. Above all, love each other deeply. Love covers over a multitude of sins. I wonder if he had this proverb in mind. Love covers over all wrongs. This does not mean that if we just love each other, sin doesn't count anymore. It does not mean that love is like a rug and we can sweep all the sins underneath it And then no one can see them. They're still there, but at least the place looks tidy. It does not mean that there are not and should not be consequences to our sin. So what does it mean? Well, let's start by acknowledging that sometimes, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we do cause each other pain, just like any siblings in any family. Sometimes we deliberately hurt each other. Sometimes we do and say things which cause each other pain, and we do not even know that we have done so. But we do. We fall out, we disagree, we gossip and undermine, and we do spiteful things. We don't think of other people's wants and needs when we make decisions, and it can end in hurt. So let's assume that we are occasionally going to sin against one another. Let's assume that our brothers and sisters in Christ will sometimes cause us pain, even when they're trying their very best to love us and not to. How do we deal with that? What do we do when people who are part of our church family hurt us? Well, Peter says we start with love. Before anyone has upset us at all, we start from relationships of love. You see, if you love someone, it is often easier to forgive those little annoyances. If we are in loving relationships with one another, we can overlook, forget, or move on from all sorts of transgressions. If we do not love each other, if we merely tolerate one another while we're here together, then even the smallest action can annoy. And as our annoyance grows, as we get grumpy with someone else in our church family, everything they say starts to aggravate us or gets treated with suspicion. Everything they do, we start to think is designed specifically to hurt us. Without love, our relationships break down. Our unity is lost. Our growth as the people of God stutters to a halt. We end up bitter and judgmental and in pain, every single one of us. Churches fall apart. Really caring for one another as a church family, putting each other first, having meaningful relationships with each other really can cover over all sorts of sins. It makes it so much easier for us to forgive one another as we have been forgiven. If we are invested in each other's lives, if we are working for each other's good, if we are intent that all of our sisters and brothers will grow closer to God, we can more easily forgive imperfections and annoyances. We can more easily move past pain and sin and work together for the glory of God. So if one of your brothers or sisters in Christ annoys you or upsets you, aggravates you, the challenge is to work even harder at loving them, rather than avoiding them, to make an effort to pray with them and for them, to deepen that relationship. Do hear me well. Love covers over a multitude of sins doesn't mean that the only response to sin is love. Actions still have consequences. Sinners still need to repent. Those who maliciously cause others pain still need to be held to account. But loving relationships are much better equipped to withstand the storms that are part of us sharing our life together as the people of God. We need each of us to love our church, to love our brothers and sisters. I want to try and draw our time together today, and indeed the whole series, to some sort of conclusion. And as I come to a conclusion, I want to ask you three questions to think about. Three questions to go away and ponder and maybe to do something with. If you've got a pen, I suggest that you write them down. And I know most of you have pens because they were distributed earlier for you to fill out the census form. Please don't write them down on the census form and then not leave the census form behind, because that'll confuse things for all of us. If you haven't got a pen, if you've got your phone and you want to make a note on your phone, that's fine. You can get your phone out. I will assume that you're not checking Facebook. If you want to make notes that way, they're going to be on the screen too. You could even just take a picture. That would be much quicker. Here are the questions I have for you. Do you love your church enough for it to cover a multitude of sins? How can you encourage someone in your church? How can you better love your church? Do you love your church enough for it to cover over a multitude of sins? Do you love these people here? Feel free to turn around and have a look at them, have a think about it, work out whether you love them or not. What about those who don't come on a Sunday, who are not here today but are part of our wider family? Do you really want the best for them? Have you even ever thought about what the best for the other people in this building might be? Do you love them enough to inconvenience yourself for their good? Do you love them with the self-sacrificial, consistent, committed love that is patient and kind and not envious or boastful and all the rest? Have you forged intimate relationships with your sisters and brothers in this place? And if you haven't, why not? Because this is the sort of love that we need in order to be united as Christ's body and to be effective ambassadors for him, in order to move forwards in his purposes. This is the sort of love that each of us needs to be the people that we were designed to be, that we are called to be. God made us to be in loving relationships. Maybe today there is someone who is part of the church family that you need to reach out to. Maybe there is someone you need to forgive, to reforge a relationship with where it has broken down. I'd encourage you to do so as soon as you can. To have the humility to admit that you were wrong, or the grace to take the first step, even if you were the one who was wronged. Do you love your church enough to cover a multitude of sins? The second question was, how can you encourage someone in your church? I challenged you with this a few weeks ago. I challenged you to pick a person and encourage them that week. And I suggested that each week you pick a new person and do the same. Let's make encouraging each other, building each other up, spurring each other on a habit. Work your way around the whole building if you like. Get out your church directory and work your way down from... Don't everyone go from the start to the end. Otherwise, just each week, one person will be really encouraged and the rest of us not so much. But mark people off as you do it. Be deliberate about it. And remember that encouraging and spurring people on is not just about saying something nice to them, although saying something nice is nice. Encouraging someone, spurring someone on, is helping them in their walk with Jesus. Helping them to draw closer to God. Helping them to grow in their faith. How can you do that this week? Who might you do that with? And finally, how can you better love your church? This week, this month, this year, how can you show the love of Jesus to others? How can you use the gifts that you have for the good of others? How can you serve God and your sisters and brothers in this church? What needs to be done? What can you do? How can you play your part in loving your church? It'll soon be Advent and Christmas. And after that, in the new year, we're going to study the book of Ephesians together on Sunday mornings. We're going to see what Paul has to say to the church there about God's calling on them as individuals and as a group. And we'll be thinking further about how to live together as the sort of people that God has called us to be. But for now, let me pray. Father God, we praise and thank you that you love us and have called us. That your great promise to us is that you are with us and that we might have a relationship with you. I thank you that you have given us one another to love and to be loved by. And I pray that you would enable us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, empower us. Move among us, that we might be people who only ever say the sort of things that you would say and only ever do the sort of things that you would do, and that in doing so we would find that living life that way is so much more full of joy and excitement. And that by doing so, we would draw closer to one another and closer to you. We pray, Father God, in your church, in this place, that you would be glorified. And that, Father God, you would enable us to share that great love you have with others, that they too might come to praise your name. For your glory, I pray. Amen.